You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, remember V. Stiviano? If she owes you money, now would be a great time to take her to court. Hey, have you been following the travels, his travels through the Philippines on Facebook? Well, it's okay. Manny the Movie Guy. Can't wait to tell you about it. And talk about the big releases for this weekend in the movies. And we talk with Jesus Christ. That's what I said. Let's meet the friends. He'll pretend he doesn't want you to fight with that other chick, but he loves it when you pull hair. Here's Chris Martin.
Phil, we now know what and who is fully responsible for ruining American culture.
Nice to know. Mm-hmm. And hello to our executive producer, Mike Stark, and our production assistant in training, Ryan Hayden.
Looking very sharp back there.
Yeah, he's got his hockey tie on, his Kings tie, it looks like. Kings ain't in the playoffs, bro.
Is that to wipe his tears? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. Playoffs start tonight for me.
Playoffs?
There was a playoff, hockey playoff game yesterday. We'll talk about that a little later.
Winnipeg, right? Coming to town?
Winnipeg against Anaheim for two games.
All right.
I'll be there tonight. All right, so let's get things rolling. Chris, buddy, you know what has denigrated American culture and society, and what is that?
Well, I can sum it up in three words. Jerry.
Jerry Springer?
Yes.
Who says?
Jerry Springer.
Who
well,
says?
Jerry Springer says.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was recently interviewed by Nick Lachey, of all people. You remember Nick Lachey?
Wasn't he married to
Jessica Simpson?
Jessica Simpson.
And I know him more for that than his musical background. Was he a Backstreet Boy or was he? He was a Backstreet Boy,
was
right?
Was he a Backstreet Boy?
Do we have confirmation on that? Yes.
He was?
Okay.
All right.
He was a Backstreet Boy.
It wasn't in Boys to Men?
No. That was an all-black group.
It
that
was?
Harmonized together. Yeah, I don't even think they used instruments.
Those guys could actually sing?
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, they could sing.
All right, I'm going to look up Nick Lachey and see what group he was in for sure. But I take your word for it.
Yeah, and while you're looking him up, he was interviewing Jerry Springer recently, and Jerry formally apologized and said, "The entire Jerry Springer show is stupid."
Wow.
He said it has ruined American culture.
Yeah, he's going to take credit. Yeah, that's the kind of ego the guy has.
Well, yeah.
You know, you don't think there's some other things that have had some impact?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, like Maury Povich.
Yeah.
And Oprah Winfrey and
you know, I'll tell
Judge
you
Judy and
yeah, Kardashians.
All of them. Yeah.
I tell you, when I watch stuff like that, I just get sad.
Me too. Yeah, I have a hard time watching it. It's the whole thing is a giant train wreck. All of those shows.
Stop reaching through the speakers to strangle Chris. Nick Lachey was in 98 Degrees.
Oh, that's right. 98 Degrees.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a feeling he wasn't in Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, me too. It didn't seem right.
And I know he wasn't in NSYNC.
98 Degrees was like the abused stepchild of that generation of vocal groups.
Right, yeah. But he sure can do an interview, and he could get Jerry Springer to talk with him. Boy, that was some get.
Yeah.
I got Jesus Christ. He got Jerry Springer.
Yeah, where do those rank?
Yeah.
He did a pretty good job of getting him to open up. You know, the Jerry Springer show is in its 25th season, which Jerry Springer says just goes to show that there is no accounting for taste.
Yeah, right. Well, if it's so bad and if it's ruining American culture, why keep doing it, Jerry?
Oh, the probably $10 to $15 million a year that it brings into his bank account might be a good start reason any of us would probably do it. Mm-hmm. He says the show is so crazy and stupid, no one even tries to copy it anymore, so they have a niche market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except Maury.
Yeah, Maury. And I caught some Maury the other day. I was in an auto mechanic shop.
Sad, isn't it?
Yes.
Don't you just get sad about human society? Like, we're going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, it's rough. I don't know. It's like taking the worst society has to offer and displaying it for everyone to see. And it is hard to turn away from once you're looking at it.
How many gals out there with babies, either in their bellies or out in the Pampers, don't know who the father is? I mean, it's like every day. And there's a choice of maybe six or seven different guys. And like every time the pregnancy test comes up negative, you are not the father. And then the chick goes absolutely wild. She could have sworn he was the father.
And the dude goes wild too, right? Doesn't he start fist pumping?
Right. And doing some kind
of... like I told you.
Doing some kind of butt dance in front of the girl, you know? It's like, yeah. It's just, it's rude, it's crude, and it is a sign that a larger percentage of American society is ripe for takeover.
Yeah, with that lowbrow sort of entertainment.
Right. The stupider we are, the easier we are to lead to whatever, over a cliff.
Lead to the edge, drink the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. It's all part of a conspiracy. I think they all planned it this way.
Jerry Springer, by the way, 70 years old now, and he's just teamed up with WWE for a new online program they have called Too Hot for TV.
Jerry Springer, huh? 70 years old?
He 70 plus. He might be even in his
doesn't
early
look
70s.
A day over 60, does he?
He's held together well, Jerry Springer has. Right. And by the way, I've heard some interviews with him besides the Nick Lackey one, and he's an intelligent guy.
Yeah, Nick Lackey.
He carries himself well, and he has some very good opinions.
It is Lachey. You got it right the first time. I was just spelling it funny because it's his name is Lachey, but it's spelled Lachey.
Yeah, I was just following with the humor of making fun of his last name. We're not the first to do that.
No. Has anybody ever made fun of Vistaviano?
Well, it depends. Are you talking about when she was wearing the welder's mask? Are you talking about when she was viciously recording Donald Sterling without his knowing?
I was thinking maybe when she was collecting all kinds of money for whatever she was getting done to herself or to her possessions and that sort of thing. She was living high on Sterling's money. Why she never opted for some dental work?
Yeah, is that why she wore the welder's mask?
That'd have been useful for her, don't you think? Yeah, it's a little gummy and a little there's at least one snaggle tooth. Don't you get that fixed? Right?
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. Go see your local Everybody Smiles dentist and get that handled.
Get those white veneers on there, and do they have a gum reduction deal? Do they do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That sounds painful if they do.
When you smile and they see more pink than white?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the teeth?
You don't know whether to smile back or feed them an apple?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Why are we talking about Vistaviano?
This is going too far.
She's in the news, isn't she?
Yes. I have no comments about her looks, but I do want to say that if she is looking for any sort of dental surgery, she might not be able to afford it now because a judge just ordered that the alleged mistress of Donald Sterling has to return $2.6 million in cash and property to Sterling's estranged wife, Shelley Sterling, who has sued Vistaviano.
Yeah.
Claiming that she seduced her husband into throwing money and expensive gifts at her from their shared funds and that Stiviano and Donald plotted to hide those gifts from Shelley, which I'm sure they did. That's not something you wave in front of your wife when you're doing that.
Hey, I got a mistress and I'm spending your money on her.
Look what I just bought her, honey.
Yeah.
And under the court's ruling, Stiviano has to give up a $1.8 million duplex and $800,000 in cash and luxury cars.
Yeah, not going to happen.
What?
She's already eBayed all of that stuff, don't you think?
No. How do you eBay a duplex?
Well, yeah, right. But she may still be in the duplex, but I bet she's unloaded everything else.
You know, Shelley was originally trying to sue her for $3.6 million worth of stuff, including clothing, jewelry, an Easter Bunny costume, a $12 lace thong, and even a $1 donation to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Well, speaking of eBay, can we put that Easter Bunny costume up for auction? That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's one of those dirty Halloween Easter Bunny costumes, too.
Yeah, naughty Easter Bunny. So, mark my words, she's going to claim poverty.
Bankruptcy or something like that?
Yeah, she's going to claim that she doesn't have any money.
From what I understand, she has 15 days, as of 2 days ago, to respond to the court about how she's going to pay this bill. Otherwise, they will take the money from her, old school Italian style.
15 days. Okay, so 13 days from now, mark my words, Vistaviano is going to say, what?
It's possible. And by the way, let this be a lesson in women scorned, because Shelley is not holding back. I mean, she was trying to and may successfully take everything from her. And also a little bit of a lesson in karma, I think, for V.
True. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be a star effer, as they call them.
Yeah, gold digger, I think.
Gold digger. Yeah, that's another one for it. Go for the old rich guys who don't have an old rich wife.
Right.
Yeah.
And intelligent rich wives
at
the same time.
Sure, exactly. All right. There's a guy going to jail. You may have heard of him before. He's a formerly famous football player, and now he's known for killing people, I think. We're talking about Aaron Hernandez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to find out what's going to happen to him in just one of the cases. And there's more to come for this boy next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Okay, fine. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. If you insist, we will continue to do the show.
I insist.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know, I have a good time doing this, and I'm glad you're tuning in. We teach you things that you didn't necessarily know, because coming up, we'll have four random health facts about your butt.
Oh, well, good, because I'm always curious about the health of my butt.
Yes, and we'll have that covered in just a moment, so keep it covered. We want to find out, though, about this Aaron Hernandez character, former football player. Who did he play for?
He played for the New England Patriots. He was a tight end, Phil.
Good player, too.
Really good player,
but
yeah.
In a kind of a roid rage way, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy, and he's dominating in that way because of his physical size. But if you look at their other tight end, Rob Gronkowski, not too much different. That was what was special about that team. They had two of the biggest and fastest tight ends in football.
Yeah, now this guy, now that he's been convicted in court, you know, tell us what he was convicted for and what he sentenced to.
He was convicted for murder. He murdered Odin Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Odin Floyd.
Yeah.
Got to
yeah.
put an F in front of that. Yeah. And he was convicted guilty yesterday. Sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He's only 25 years old, so it's going to be a long stretch for him.
And he's not done in court, is he?
No. It's just starting for him, really. Hernandez is also facing a separate double murder indictment for allegedly gunning down two men in Boston in 2012. He pleaded not guilty in that case as well, and the trial is going to begin later this year.
That's a federal case, right?
So he's got more to look forward to, yeah.
Yeah, just a thug, just a bad guy.
Yeah, it's like he was a professional murderer and a part-time football player.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is what you get paid for if you are a professional murderer. You spend the rest of your life in jail.
Yeah, and you know, he didn't have much of a reaction to it, which is really weird. It makes you wonder if he realizes the magnitude of what's in front of him.
Or maybe he's had time to think it through and he's resolved to the fact that, okay, fine, this is going to be my life.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, and I think if you were raised in that hard thug environment, maybe you do come to terms with it a little quicker. But it's hard to imagine that just 3 years ago, imagine this is running through his head. Just 3 years ago, he had signed a $40 million contract
right.
with the New England Patriots.
And he's not getting paid that anymore, is he?
No, I mean, there's a certain amount of it that he took.
Can you imagine, you go into jail, how long before, okay, one of two things happens. The resident tough guy at the jail wants to pick a fight with you. With all of his posse hanging out with him. So there's going to be a beatdown, I suspect, just to get an understanding as to who's in charge. And then how long before Aaron Hernandez starts a jailhouse football team?
Oh, hopefully right out of the gate. Yeah, I'd like to see a sequel to, what's that movie? Come on, with Burt Reynolds?
Longest Yard.
Longest Yard, yeah. With Aaron Hernandez.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, by the way, I do feel like he might be able to hold his own in there. I don't know for sure. You know, maybe he does end up becoming jailbait or whatever they want to call it. But
yeah.
He's a big guy. He's been in pretty rough situations. You'd
yeah.
think maybe he's
but, you know, they
cut
wanna,
out
they,
for it.
They want to set the rules as to who's in charge. There will be a fight.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to earn his keep.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Yeah, for my days in prison, that's how it worked out, right?
Maybe he goes to one of those real posh prisons, though, because he's
I don't
a
think
celebrity.
So. I don't think so.
No?
No. Mm-mm. They're gonna toss him in with the street criminals.
Yeah, hard time in the place made of brick and mortar.
Yeah, I think so. All right, and now four random health facts about your butt.
Yay!
Do we have music for that? We don't? Oh, okay. Number one, acne down there is very common and very treatable. If it's a problem, just go to the dermatologist and show him your butt.
Say, yeah.
Doctor, I got zits on my cheeks.
I think they call that acne, Phil.
Acne, all right. Mm-hmm. You might be embarrassed to do this, but it's they deal with it, the dermatologists do, constantly. They're constantly looking at zit cheeks.
That is wonderful. What a job. What a profession.
What do they do? They
God bless them.
Do they lance them?
They have to do something.
Yeah?
Do something to clean it up. I mean, you know, you think they just give you medication. Don't they make, like, doxycycline and these other medications?
Yeah,
you can
sure.
Use to
but,
clear
you
that
know,
up?
It's your butt. Why not just, you know, heat up one of those lancers or one of those little zit poppers that they have? You know, the ones made out of wire? You know the one I'm talking about?
I'm having trouble fighting the queasy feeling that I'm having right now, but
I don't know. You don't think those dermatologists go for records and then tell their colleagues, whoa, I had a big one today.
Why not just heat up the old pancake maker and sit on it?
Yeah, should have seen the root on that one. Whoa. All right, here's another one. Reading in the bathroom can give you hemorrhoids.
Really?
And so can playing games on your phone. Anything that makes you sit on the toilet for too long can irritate blood vessels down there, which is what causes hemorrhoids.
I believe that. You should really just get on and off, get it done and move on.
Resolve to just not take anything into the bathroom with you.
Yeah, leave that. That place is meant for one thing.
Yeah, your thoughts. If you don't have a family history of colon cancer, you probably don't need a colonoscopy until you're 50. But if it does run in your family, you should start getting them when you're 10 years younger than your relative was when they got diagnosed.
Okay.
Problem is, insurance says these days that once you have one, you can't have another one for 10 years. So that's a long time to wait, and it's an easy stretch of time for a cancer to develop and go undetected if you don't have a test. So you might have to fork out the cash money to have a test sooner than what's allowed by insurance standards.
Interesting.
Yeah. Number four, you can get skin cancer on your butt, even if it's never seen the light of day. It's actually one of the most common places people get melanoma. And another reason why you need to drop your trousers when you see your dermatologist.
That's odd. You don't even have to, your butt doesn't even have to face the sun for it to develop skin cancer. I wonder how that happens.
Well, I guess, you know what, whatever goes in kind of ends up there anyway.
So you're saying if you're exposed the rest of your body to the sun, it can just flesh out down
maybe,
there?
Maybe. I'm just thinking, because that's the exit part of your body. So everything's flowing in that direction, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or perhaps there's a whole extra amount of blood flowing through there because of the extra real estate.
Yeah, and because we're constantly sitting on it and gravity tends to go that direction.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe all those credit card strips in your back pocket.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Those deadly credit card strips. You're just starting a new something for us to worry about.
Yeah, yeah.
We're already concerned about our cell phones.
What's the most popular song on the planet? Do you know?
It's I do know what it is. I do know what it is. It's Uptown Funk gonna give it to you. Come bump 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 ba na na. That's Bruno Mars jam.
That's right. Yeah, Mick Ronson and Bruno Mars. Uptown Funk. It's been 14 weeks number one on the Billboard Hot 100. But it's been knocked off the top.
Huh.
By the song, the Paul Walker tribute song, See You Again, from the Furious 7 soundtrack. That is the new number one song in the country.
Do we have any of that? We don't, do we?
No, we didn't put in the effort to try to put that together.
See You Again.
But Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth. Is that how he says it? Puth? P-U-T-H?
I hope so.
Yeah. See You Again is the name of the song. Uptown Funk is number two. Sugar by Maroon 5. Not a fan of that song.
Yeah.
Number four is Trap Queen by Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap.
That's a favorite of yours?
I am out of touch.
Number five is Thinking Out Loud, Ed Sheeran.
That one's all right.
Six is Earned It from the 50 Shades of Grey movie by The Weeknd. And Love Me Like You Do by Ellie Goulding.
Also from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Didn't she act in that?
I don't know. I know that she did that. She did that "Love Me Like You Do" song, and it became very popular.
You know what GDFR stands for?
Good Day for Recreation.
That's the number eight song by Flo Rida, featuring Sage the Gemini and Lucas.
Huh?
Lucas.
I've heard of Flo Rida.
Shut Up and Dance, Walk the Moon is the number nine song, and Taylor Swift can barely eke out a number 10 with her song Style.
T-Swizz.
Now, here's the thing. Back in the day, when you would look at the album charts, and the number one album would typically have 1 million, 2 million, 3 million in sales, You know what? How much the Furious 7 soundtrack is the number one album this week has sold so far?
50,000.
Well, you're being silly. 111,000
copies.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. The number two is just new on the charts. Future Hearts, all-time low, 80,000 copies. The 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack has sold 47,000. And Maroon 5, 44,000. Taylor Swift's 1989, 44,000. Doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
No. And we'll talk a little bit more about this later. I have a story for you about how the direction music sales are going and the numbers that back it up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've got that. All right. Okay, let's see. You know the Sofia Vergara?
Yeah. She's I know Sofia Vergara. I have a pinup of her on my wall.
Pretty lady.
Gorgeous.
Probably have pretty babies if she ever had them, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. We might not find out. She's, although she is in a weird situation where she did freeze some fertilized eggs with her ex, Nick Loeb, and she's trying to destroy the eggs now because they've broken up, and this guy, Nick Loeb, is trying to sue her to keep the eggs and raise the babies.
What?
Yeah, I know. But how creepy is that?
Just back off, dude. Back
yeah,
off.
That's just weird behavior. He says he's emotionally attached, which is a lie. He wants...
Sofia is America's girlfriend.
Yes.
She belongs to all of us.
That's right. There's a theory that he's really just looking for child support, which sounds like an accurate theory.
Hey, if you're headed to the mall this weekend, you're going to see a movie about a mall cop. And Manny the Movie Guy is back from the Philippines and joins us next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hey, something fun on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. You can watch a puppet play tiny tin can drums to Tom Sawyer by Rush.
There's something you don't see every day.
And he looks like a hillbilly hippie, doesn't he?
yeah, you showed me the video.
But it's actually pretty cool. It's pretty amazing. The puppet got skills. All right, so let's review real quick. This hour, we talked about butt acne, and next hour we will talk to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's the gamut that we run here on this program.
So eclectic.
And somewhere in between is the man who puts the spring in Palm Springs, KMIR-TV movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. Somewhere in between butt acne and Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Kumusta? How was the Philippines?
Oh, thank you so much, Mabuti. I had a great, great time.
All right. Good. Our executive producer, Mike Stark, was following your travels on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm sure he felt every tropical heat wave that I was feeling.
Oh, yeah. Were you flush?
Yes.
All right, good. All right, so Manny, you're back to work, and you're looking at the movies, and I got to believe that Mall Cop 2 is just going to dominate this weekend.
Yeah, well, you know what? The first Paul Blart Mall Cop made a ton of money, 7 times in its budget, but it's a no-brainer for a sequel to follow. But this one, it's a sequel in search of a brain. But then again, smart sequels are few and far between. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 is definitely not a smart follow-up.
Oh,
huh. It's been 6 years since we met Paul Blart Mall Cop, a.k.a. Kevin James, who all thought he was going to live happily ever after. But no, like a lot of lazy sequels, the hero must lose the girl and must suffer. Soon, he gets to relive his glory days. The end, more Paul Blart Mall Cop movies coming to cinemas.
Does he find another mall kiosk girl?
No.
No.
This one, the good thing about this movie, though, is Rainey Rodriguez. She plays Blart's daughter, Maya. So at least she can carry her own in this one. Plus, Kevin James is still quite likable. But honestly, if I have to watch another predictable movie set in Las Vegas, I'll bury my head in the sand.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? He's a smart guy because he wrote this, from what I understand.
Right.
And maybe he even directed it or something like that. But this is going to get rented forever and watched on Netflix forever. So he's going to make money hand over foot on this thing, even if it doesn't do great in the box office.
Or the next time I go fly to the Philippines, I probably would see this in my
on the plane.
Entertainment page.
Yeah, with the sound off.
You have to figure it's going to have that big opening weekend too. Whether or not people like the movie, they'll probably flood to the box office to go see it just from the last
but
one
see,
that they enjoyed.
This is the service we try to provide with Manny here. He says, wait a minute, the movie sucks. We'll save you $10. You don't have to go to Mall Cop 2. But people still go. Why is that, Manny?
They will still go. Well, you know, again, Paul Blart Mall Cop had, you know, made a lot of money before. Plus, Kevin mm-hmm. James is likable, and it's got a brand already.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, any sequel will do wonders.
Then there's a horror movie about Facebook. Is that what this Unfriended is?
This one, yeah, it's about social media. This one really surprised the heck out of me.
Uh-oh.
At first glance, this gimmicky horror film seems out of the same box that created Paranormal Activity and its minions. But take a closer look and the movie is more at home with a Japanese shock fest like The Grudge or The Ring. Every click of the mouse, every flicker of the computer screen, new secrets are revealed,
ooh,
each more terrifying than the other. This small-budget scary flick shows our fragmentation of society, even though we seem to get closer and closer because of social media, Skype, Facebook, YouTube. They all play characters in this thriller.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this. The plot begins with the suicide of high school queen bee Laura Barnes, broadcast via YouTube, of course. But what follows next is a series of whodunit strategies complete with multi-camera calls, scream queens, and things that go bump in the night.
I love scream queens. I really do. And nobody we know is in this movie, right?
No. It's a small-budget flick with little-known actors.
Yeah. How do I get into one of those? I could be a creepy horror guy, or I could just die real good.
There you go, in the beginning,
yeah,
right? Like Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Yeah, exactly. All right, does Brad Pitt get killed real good in True Story?
Well, this one, of course, James Franco and Jonah Hill, they must be commended for starring in True Story. Both actors stepped out of their respective comedic boxes to bring us this tantalizing, albeit unnecessary, telling of the life and times of Michael Finkel. You may remember him as a New York Times journalist who was discovered to have created make-believe characters
yeah.
for a story he had written on the African slave trade.
Yeah.
He was fired, and in the movie, he is played by Hill. Soon, Finkel discovered that accused murderer Christian Longo, played by Franco, has been hiding out in Mexico and using his name. Why? That's the crux that propels this movie forward.
Is Brad Pitt in it, or did he just direct it or produce it?
No, he produced it.
Oh, so he doesn't act in it?
No.
He doesn't even do like a Hitchcock and walk through a scene, does he?
No.
Do people still do that? They do that, don't they?
Yeah. What's his name? The guy that did Django Unchained?
Did that.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
Manny.
Django Unchained. The
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin, yeah. He shows up in all his movies at one point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a movie about monkeys.
Yes, Monkey Kingdom. That is actually a sweet, sweet movie from Disney. Of course, Disney monkeys. This will get into the those people who love zoo animals, and this is a documentary.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
And there are no scenes where moms dangle their babies over a cheetah pit.
Yeah. No, this is Disney. <Mind you.
laughs> And let's see. Oh, there's one more movie that's opening in a handful of theaters. It's called Child 44. I don't know anything about that. Have you heard anything on this one?
It's a serial killer thriller starring Tom Hardy and Noomi Rapace, set in 1953 Soviet Russia.
Yeah. All right, that's all we need to know. But there is one more big event today. Chris was just telling me about it. What is that?
I was telling Phil about the new trailer that was released today for Star Wars.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was short, you know, and it had some major pauses in between. But getting to see Harrison Ford and Chewbacca was very pleasant.
They're in it?
With Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Mind you, Chewie, we're home. I love that line. To be honest with you, I have been kind of tired of Star Wars lately. I mean, they hype this film to the max, right? I'm tired. I don't want to see the film anymore. But after seeing this teaser, I am back.
Yeah. Is this a J.J. Abrams edition?
It is J.J. Abrams, who is lucky to have revived both Star Wars and Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy's going to be in the money for a long time.
That's
for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Or things that he didn't really create.
Yeah, and if he's ever down on his luck, he's gonna fly to Palm Springs and ask Manny the movie guy for a loan.
Sure, why not? $2.
There you go. Well, okay, we'll talk to you again next week, Manny. And everybody go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com and look at his interviews with the stars. They love him, and you'll know why he's on this show every week right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you so much, you guys. Talk to you next week.
Okay, you got it. All right, so real quick, just a random deal for you. I have it here somewhere. Oh, here we go. You ever been to the Louvre in France?
I have not.
Yeah, I've been there. And one of the things you have to do when you go to the Louvre is see the Mona Lisa. The actual painting is there.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's in a room. Yeah, what? You've seen it in person? Or you just...
No, on TV and
stuff. Yeah, sure. That's all you need, right?
Yeah.
But so, there's something about seeing it for real. You walk into a room, and it's packed with people, and it's a little like you're at a concert, and you're like 40 rows of humanity away from the stage. But still, you are determined to make it to the stage, and somehow you have to lube up and grease your way through all those people and make it to the front, where the room is filled with tourists who just want to get like a 5 or a 6 or 10 second glance at the Mona Lisa. But in front, at the very front, are the super fans of the band, so to speak. Okay, these are the guys with those art beards, you know, the pointy beard and the mustache, and they're all wearing berets, and they're standing there contemplating the significance and the motivation and the impact of the Mona Lisa, and they're standing there for like an hour, clogging up the front. But, you know, if you're good and you squeeze right through, you can knock one of those guys out of the way. What are they going to do? They're at the Louvre.
They're not tough.
No, they're not tough guys. They're art heads. And so you take a look at the Mona Lisa and, okay, whatever. And you get out your camera and turn off the flash, right? You take a picture and then the guy screams at you, "No photo!" And then you run out of there. Here's from the Huffington Post today. The average person at the Louvre only spends 15 seconds looking at the Mona Lisa.
Look, there it is. Cool. All right, let's go get a hot dog.
You flew all the way to Paris for 15-second sneak peek at a handsome lady.
Or you could say she is a handsome lady.
Or
I think that actually probably works.
Double-check the Adam's apple, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she's got some masculine features.
She's a man, baby.
I could have picked a better food than hot dog.
What?
Reference.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, because let's go get a hot dog. Don't you go get something else in France?
Yeah.
Let's go get some French fries.
No, you got a ham sandwich. That's my takeaway from Paris. If you ever go to Paris, you're going to be eating ham sandwich every day. They call it jambon.
As long as you put mustard on it, I'm there.
Yeah, all right. We were talking about music earlier, and what's the current status? Online sales versus CD sales, and you might be surprised where things stand as of today, and Chris has the stats for you next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. And frankly, we don't know where Erin is, but we heard some potentially devastating news about one of her cats. And our thoughts and prayers go out to her because, you know, when you have cats and dogs and you have a lot of them, and they're your kids, right?
You love them very much.
Yeah. We don't know the real story, the complete story, but we wish Erin the best.
Always.
In these difficult times.
Yeah.
Now, is the cat walking up or down the stairs?
Down the stairs, Phil. You don't want to start this one again.
No, we don't, actually. All right, so, Chris, back to you now. We were talking about music sales, and you have a couple of ways to listen to your music these days. You can get an MP3, or you can buy a CD. Those are the standard ways. I mean, some people...
Well, there's a third standard way that you're not thinking of.
What's that?
Streaming.
Oh, sure.
Streaming services like Spotify, Pandora...
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
But you can listen to, you know, All You Can Eat that way. But if you actually buy your songs and MP3s and stick them in your own playlist and listen to what you want to when you want to, that's similar to buying a CD and listening to what you want to when you want to, right?
Yeah, that's the way that I do it.
Yeah. All right. So are those the two types of things that we're looking at on the where do things stand? Are more people buying CDs or online sales?
More people are are buying online sales.
They are?
Yeah, for the first time ever. 2014 marks the first year that online sales in music is actually outgrossing CD sales. Now, here's the thing, Phil. They've combined online streaming services that we're like we were talking about earlier.
So like if you pay a subscription rate to Spotify.
That's exactly right. Then, yeah, they are lumping that in with the same revenues that your iTunes account would generate by yeah. purchasing music that way. And a report came out this week, and it looks like the CD's one step closer to death. This report came out from a Recording Industry Trade Association. And like I said, 2014, first year in which digital sales are outnumbering sales of CDs and records.
Wow.
We knew it was coming, right?
Yeah. People are still buying vinyl, too, aren't they? Is vinyl making a comeback, maybe?
Yeah, it is for the fans of music, you know, for the fans of good old music.
Yeah, yeah.
They try to go that route. You want a couple of numbers? I'll give you a couple.
Yeah, give me some numbers. How big are we talking here?
Streaming and digital downloads took in $6.85 billion
wow.
in 2014. CDs and LPs, 6.82. And if you take inflation into consideration, the music industry as a whole is down 2.5 times less in revenue than in the late 1990s. A lot of that
really?
Due to illegal downloading.
I was curious about that.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was a time when, and we were talking about this, the top album sold, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million units in its first couple of weeks. Right? Back in the day, right?
Back in the 90s, especially.
Michael Jackson would come out with a new album every couple of years. You know, remember? I mean, some bands would go 3-4 years. And then you look at bands like the Beatles. You know, they'd release like two, maybe in one case, didn't they release 3 albums in 1 year?
Probably. That's a prolific group.
In their early years, yeah. A band together for like 4 years and look at their remarkable catalog of music. But these days, the record labels tell you, okay, this is your release date. You got to have your albums out more or less at this time. Otherwise, it's not going to be a successful partnership, you and the record label.
A lot of it is sort of like the movie industry now. You have to time it to where you're not competing against other big artists
yeah.
like a movie tries not to compete.
This is my theory, Chris. This is why I believe artists ultimately don't leave as influential and creative a mark on this planet as they used to, when they used to just release stuff as the creative juices were going. If you're young and you're on drugs and you're recording a whole bunch of great music, why not record it and release it? And now these guys wait 2-3 years between albums, and, you know, like, how many U2 records are you never going to listen to?
None of them. I listen to U2 regularly.
You listen to every U2 album?
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah. I do know. I know exactly what you mean. I don't consume music the way that this new generation does, but I did want to give you one more very interesting stat.
Yeah. What's that?
Taylor Swift led the way in sales in both records and digital downloads.
How about that?
In 2014.
Yeah, she's a marketing machine.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, and she's still looking for the one.
Yeah.
The right one, because she keeps breaking up, but she gets good songs out of the breakups.
Well, it's until she runs into me, Phil, she's not going to find him.
Now, here's some advice for you, Chris. I have here a list that I think will become very helpful for you and others. There are about 5 million things you could do wrong on a first date. Somebody counted them.
Yeah,
how many of those 5 million have you done?
4.5 million.
Right. And it's obviously impossible to know all of them. So at least you can memorize these few. Just go just to slightly improve your odds of not spending the rest of your life alone buying laser discs to watch movies.
Who buys laser discs?
You know who they are. You know who that is.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, you got laser discs? All right. Here are the top 10 turnoffs on a first date, according to a new survey. Who did this survey? Chili Sauce did the new survey. What is Chili Sauce?
The most reputable outlet in all of news.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, too much touching and groping.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that.
On a first date?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're hot.
I don't do it anymore.
Honk, honk.
Yeah. It was mutual, by the way. It's not like I was molesting her.
Oh, she was groping back.
Yeah, it was a mutual grope session, but still not great etiquette for a first date and not a way to start off a relationship if that's what you're looking for.
Hi there, I'm Chris. Want to step over there and grope?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All right. Number 9, getting too drunk.
Not a good idea.
Very often you are already too drunk when somebody begins to date you.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware of that. Number 8, not respecting personal space.
sort of ties in with number one.
Yeah, because then you got the cigarette and beer breath, and you're right there in somebody's face, and it's just, it's not a good thing, right? Okay.
We all feel uncomfortable when that person gets too close.
Number seven, a lack of eye contact. Now, how is that going to work, especially in a loud environment like a club? If you're not looking somebody in the eyes, you're not sincere. And don't men and women both kind of try to stare into your brain through your eyes to see what's in there, to see if it's, is this going to work? They're trying to find some gray matter in there that they can relate to. And they, through the eyes, right?
Some do and some not so much. I think it depends. Are you introverted? Are you extroverted? There's some different personality characteristics. But usually a person that makes good eye contact wants to see somebody making good eye contact back at them.
Now, if you want to date one of those dark, brooding, goth kind of people, right? You don't want to see their eyes.
Yeah, their eyes are just shifting. They're darting all over the room, sort of, down at the floor.
They're going to look away. They're not going to look at you. That would mean they'd mark you for death if they look at you. Number six, ordering for the other person.
You don't do that on the first date. Uh-uh. That is pompous.
Yeah, that is. Too much swearing.
Right. Good. That's a good rule in general in life.
Yeah, right.
We all need to cut back on the swearing.
Yeah, right. I agree. Smoking on the first date is number four.
Yeah. Okay, smoking what? Cigarettes,
just
crack?
Just smoking. Just, you know, hey, you know, if she's attracted to you, she thinks, hey, this is a clean living dude. He doesn't swear a lot. You know, he hasn't groped too much. He's looking me right in the eyes. I like this. And then she finds out two dates later when you light up a cigarette.
Yes, right. Light up a cigarette, smack her on the rear, and
or she decides to go home with you. You know, you met her at the bar, and she decides to go home with you. You know, first date, whatever. You know, that things worked out real well after the second or third drink. And you get in the car, and you've got one of those ashtrays in there full of butts.
She's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I think so. She might say, drop me off over here. Well, it's the middle of the night, and that's not a savory part of town. All right, number three, having an annoying laugh.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, try to rein the laugh in.
Uh-huh.
Number two, disappearing into the bathroom for a long time. What are you doing in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's suspicious behavior.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going home with you tonight if you have diarrhea. Number one, if people think of that, don't they? They consider those
things. Or you wonder, what are they doing? Are they really powdering their nose or powdering their nose?
And number one, eating off the other person's plate without asking. Let me try that.
Yeah, I think done in the right way, that could be seen as a brave move.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know what I've done? This has worked for me in the past.
All right.
I'll take my finger and scoop out a little mashed potatoes and gravy. And I'll run a little line down her nose.
That has got to work on the first date.
It works every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. We promise we're not going to date you. But there is more of the program to come, including how hackers can commandeer an airplane through your Wi-Fi connection. Is that scary? And a candid conversation with Jesus Christ. Well, we will take every opportunity to apologize for this program. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, Jesus Christ descends upon this program to talk with us. Our tech dude will freak you out about ever flying an airline again. And the female condom that guarantees 100% satisfaction 100% of the time. Chris Martin is here today. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thank you for tuning in. There's a .com at the end of our website. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Then you add the .com, and then the whole internet takes over. And you can see all the fun stuff on the website. Go check it out. It's an exciting week for a lot of various reasons, but we want to get some business out of the way. They're putting up signs in a couple of towns, New York City and Philly, I think, is the other one, because they've got at least there's a perception that they have a problem. What is that problem, Chris?
The problem is catcalling, Phil.
Oh.
Do you know what catcalling is?
That's when the construction dudes with the hat, they're sitting on the 2x4 having their lunch in that metal lunchbox, and a pretty lady walks by and they start hooting and hollering and whistling and making obscene gestures.
No, it's when your cat runs off and you try to get it back and you're like, here, mittens.
Oh,
come here, mittens.
Really?
Come on, where are you going, mittens?
They have a problem with that in New York and Philadelphia?
Yes.
Oh.
No, you were right the first time.
Okay.
There's signs popping up all over the downtown areas of New York and Philadelphia.
Not just construction guys in the yellow hats, though.
But that's what you picture, because that's the stereotype that's in the movies and television shows.
Sure.
These signs say no cat calling anytime, and things like this is a no cat calling zone. Huh. Yeah, they're trying to raise awareness for International Anti-Street Harassment Week, which is this week.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's apparently
International Anti-Street Harassing Week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some groups that are working on this.
They should work on the title of the week, I think.
Yeah, it seems a little breathy.
Yeah.
They say that catcalling is the most prevalent form of sexual violence, verbal and nonverbal. You got to see these signs if you get a chance. Look them up, too.
I don't mean to diminish the importance of this matter, but when you look at the sign that they've come up with, it seems to diminish the importance of this matter.
Yes.
There's a picture of a cat looking at a couple of stick character guys, and one of them, it looks like he's making whistling noises, and the other guy looks like he's grabbing his crotch.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Couldn't have described it any better. And it's red and white. It looks like your common, like, no parking sign, but with these stick figures grabbing themselves and whistling at a cat.
Yeah, yeah. And is cat calling is it one of those things that if you're not from around here, and you're new to our part of town, that you may not know? It's like a colloquialism. Do people know what catcalling is immediately? Or when they see those signs, do they, wow, Americans are weird. They're grabbing their crotch whenever a cat walks around?
New York and Philadelphia, I think they're going to be familiar with it. There's probably parts of the country that don't know it as that.
Yeah.
As catcalling. Uh-huh. I always think of some of my friends growing up. They'd catcall. They were older than me, and they'd catcall. They'd be like, hey, mamacita. Como esta? Como esta? And they do that like clicking and kissing. And
they did it in Spanish?
And they pumped their fists.
So that it would be more acceptable? Or why? Why would they do it in Spanish?
They were Mexicans. Yeah, they were Spanish guys.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were from Mexico.
They were from Mexico, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up in construction, man. So a good majority of my friends were Mexican descendants.
Yeah.
And they taught me how to flirt with women the right way. Hey, mamacita.
And that works.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It works if you want to get slapped in the face.
Well,
it works real well.
I suppose. As with everything, it's a numbers game.
The International Anti-Street Harassment Week was started by a nonprofit clothing company called Feminist Apparel in collaboration with Philadelphia-based feminist group known as Pussy Division. There's over 50 signs up already.
They're sending so many mixed messages.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of confusing. There's over 50 signs up already, at least one in every borough of New York.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they want to expand the project to other major cities.
People should burrow their heads in shame.
I agree.
Now, it is exciting this week for another reason. We have playoffs in two spectacular sports, basketball and hockey. Where shall we start?
I want to start with hockey because I'm less familiar with hockey, and
okay,
I'm hoping
fine.
You can help brush me up on what's going on.
Yeah, fine.
I have the bracket here if you want to go through it that way. But
okay. Let's start with the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
All right. We have Montreal against Ottawa. Montreal's the number one seed in the Eastern Division, I believe the division is called, because the Metropolitan Division is the New York Rangers' number one seed. Rangers against Pittsburgh.
These are two Canadian teams going at it.
Montreal and Ottawa.
Yeah.
Canadiens and the Senators. And then New York Rangers versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then you have the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Detroit Red Wings. That's the number 2 and 3. And Washington Capitals against the New York Islanders.
Two New York teams. Which one's better? The Rangers are obviously higher seeded.
Rangers are about as good as it gets. But you know what? Don't count out Pittsburgh. They're going to give them a run for their money. Tampa Bay Lightning is an excellent team.
Never mind that they're from Tampa Bay and they're a hockey team. They're an excellent team. But the Canadians are surprising. I think it's, well, I have one of these brackets here.
And Tampa Bay, they're playing the Detroit Red Wings, which they're like, aren't they a perennial superpower in hockey?
Yeah, I just don't think it's their year.
Okay.
Because next round I've got Montreal and Tampa Bay and the Rangers and Washington, and then ultimately Montreal and the Rangers, and then ultimately the Rangers get to the Stanley Cup Final against a team out of the West.
The Rangers get to the Stanley Cup Final for a second year.
Yes, because right. They were beaten by the Kings last year.
Yeah, they were whooped.
So we, on the West, have St. Louis and Minnesota. It's the Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues. And then we have the Anaheim Ducks and the Winnipeg Jets. And they're just thrilled up there in Winnipeg because this is their first time as a new team. There was a Winnipeg Jets back in the day, but this is a new Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it's too bad we're going to have to crush them and disappoint their excitement.
Well, that's the hope. And then the Nashville Predators against the Chicago Blackhawks, and then Vancouver Canucks and the Calgary Flames.
Again, two Canadian teams,
yes,
huh?
I like to call them the Calgary Flames. And so two Canadians, and the Ducks are playing a Canadian team, so we have five Canadian teams in the running this year.
And four of them are playing each other.
And that's exciting.
Exciting for Canada.
All right, next round I've got St. Louis versus Nashville and Anaheim versus Calgary. And then the final in the West is Nashville versus Anaheim, and Anaheim moving on to play what a lot of people thought at the beginning of the season would be the final series of the Ducks and the Rangers.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It almost was last season. And
we'll see how that shakes out.
Let me ask you something. Do you give the New York Islanders a chance? Is it a surprise season that they've had this year?
No. They've got a couple of guys that are standouts and are going to be better and better as time goes on. But the Islanders are moving off of the island, and they're moving into Brooklyn.
Oh.
They're moving into the Charles Barkley building. Or is it the Charles Barkley? What's it called?
Something.
Barkley Center.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're moving into that one.
Yeah.
It's not the Charles Barkley Center. But anyway, they're moving for next season, and I think that's going to help the team.
Well, that's what I hope for. I mean, I really like big-time matchups, and it really doesn't get any bigger than Anaheim and New York.
Yeah, I agree. And the league would be thrilled about that because hockey has surpassed baseball in television viewing.
Sure has.
It's now the number three sport.
Mm-hmm.
The number two sport is
basketball.
And their playoffs are beginning as well.
Yeah, and basketball is one of the end of the basketball season, especially this season, was a nail-biter all the way down to the end because there were games last night that we didn't know how the playoff seeding was going to go, especially in the West, until the very last minute of the very last game. So basketball fans were thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
So same type of thing. You know, you look at the Eastern Conference. The number one seed is the Atlanta Hawks, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
Although everybody's picking the number two seed from the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers, to go to the finals. But I'll just give you a couple of the good matchups.
Okay.
Cleveland is going to face Boston, the Celtics, right out of the gate in game in the first series of the playoffs. And, you know, a lot of people don't even think Boston should have made it. Cleveland's probably going to run through them. I think Boston has an 11% chance of winning one game in the series versus Cleveland. Don't forget, Cleveland's a team with LeBron James and J.R. Smith and Kevin Love. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
The real story is out here in the West, so, Phil, we got two California teams, one of them the number one seed in Golden West. Have you got a chance to watch them play at all?
No, I haven't.
There you got Steph Curry, who's a madman, cannot miss from the outside. They're going to play the number eight seed, the New Orleans Pelicans. And then also the Clippers are in. They're a number three seed. Guess who they're facing?
Who?
San Antonio.
Oh.
Number three seed. They're facing San Antonio, who, because of a loss last night, slipped to number six.
Yeah.
Otherwise would have been like the two seed or something. And Doc Rivers is just, he's not very happy about it.
Yeah. You know? Oh, boy.
It's going to be a tough road.
So who's going to win this thing? Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland's going to go in the East. And then from the West, it's going to be either Golden State or San Antonio, maybe Houston.
But
I'd love to see the Clippers. But
it's not going to be the Clippers.
Yeah, how do you get past San Antonio in the first round? There's just so much experience.
Yeah,
I'm going to be watching. I think the first games are this Saturday, so tune in.
All right. Coming up on the program, just to show you what kind of juice this show has.
Oh, one more thing. Houston and Dallas are facing each other in the first round.
The battle for Texas.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You don't want to hear about what kind of juice we have?
Yeah, what kind? Vegetable?
No.
Fruit?
The kind of juice we have allows us to get the biggest guests on this program. In fact, next we speak to Jesus Christ right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, Speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. So glad you tuned in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's a big show today, and about as big as it gets because, like I said, we've got some juice. It's not every day we have the distinct privilege to have a guest so famous, so exalted. But in this case, it's true. Joining us now is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Well, okay, it's the man who plays Jesus Christ in the NBC miniseries A.D., The Bible Continues, Juan Pablo de Pache. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And even better now that you're here, you play hunky Jesus, don't you?
No, I play Jesus.
Okay. But I have three daughters at home, and they said, Dad, he's hunky Jesus for sure. You know, it just to...
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, just to put some, I don't know, from scripture scholar circles, there are two schools of thought about how Jesus looked, created in our image, of course, and those who believe he was flawed, almost ugly, like most of us, come from the school of low Christology, that's what it's called, and those who believe Christ was a perfect specimen, a lot like the way you depict him, come from the high Christology school of thought, which I guess Roma Downey subscribes to because she picked you out of a crowd of actors, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's been incredible throughout the whole thing. I don't believe I would be there if it wasn't for her decision, because she did say to me that when she was looking at the tapes of the actors who auditioned for the role, she said, as soon as I saw your tape, that was that. There was no one else. And that's really comforting to know when you're jumping into playing the biggest role of your life, to know that at least the producers are completely convinced that you're the man for the job. But yes, I mean, you're right. There's definitely all kinds of opinions of what Jesus looked like and how he was like. And ultimately, I think in any casting, what producers want is someone who can, you know, at least have the that quality that will be obvious on screen and will really, hopefully, connect with the material.
Right. Roma, of course, from Touched by an Angel, then her movie Son of God and the precursor to the current miniseries, The Bible, and her husband, of course, Mark Burnett, who's the producer of just about every wildly popular reality show on TV, Amazing Race, Survivor, The Voice, Shark Tank. Well, what's it like to work with two instantly recognizable, iconic names like that?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan of Shark Tank. And so for me, it was really exciting to meet Mark and Roma as well, because I know of her work, and they are a power couple. You know, they really are a force to be reckoned with. And then when you meet them, you know, you just realize that actually they're two of the sweetest, most passionate people I've ever met, because they really are invested and involved in everything they do. I really believe that when you have passion in life, it really shows in your work. When you really love what you do, it's so different from when it's, you know, done by numbers. And they do nothing by numbers. They really put everything they have into each project. So it was a real pleasure. And they had so much to tell me, and so much also that they wanted, they gave me freedom to just do whatever I wanted with this part. And that doesn't happen also very often. So it was a really beautiful connection.
A.D., The Bible Continues, airs Sunday nights at 9, 8 Central on NBC. And Juan Pablo de Pache, we're coming up on the third episode. And this miniseries is all about what happens after the crucifixion and the resurrection, right?
Yes.
How historically accurate is it?
It's very, very accurate. It's actually the book of Acts in the Bible, which deals with the aftermath of the resurrection, what happens to the disciples after Jesus ascends, and basically all the hardships they encounter, the persecutions, the tortures, even the killings they had to go through, and that struggle with the Romans and the Sanhedrin. It's a very political show. It's incredibly tough, actually, because it deals with the humans. It's, you know, how humans just make everything harder, and what faith created, really, and how Christianity was actually born, and then the church was created. So it's a very powerful show. It's, I would say, not only for Christians, not only for people of faith, but actually people who don't know anything about this chapter of history. And Mark and Roma did a wonderful job of actually using scholars, historical and religious scholars, to come up with a very, very authentic Jerusalem. I would say, I mean, I've watched a lot of biblical content and a lot of biblical movies and TV shows, and sometimes you get the feeling that there is a sugarcoating and a sort of wanting to make it lighter than it was. And in this case, they did not shy away from the violence of the times, from the hardships, from that toughness that was obviously what was happening at that time. Yeah, so it's a brilliant, brilliant piece.
The setting sure looks authentic. It looks like Jerusalem. Where was this shot? Because it looks essentially like Jerusalem is recreated in the middle of the desert.
Well, that's exactly what they did. It's the biggest freestanding set in Morocco. We shot it in Morocco in a place called Ouarzazate, where they filmed Gladiator and Lawrence of Arabia. The streets are windy, and all kinds of rooms and houses, and the temple is there, and Pilate's castle's there, which looks incredible. When you look out the window from the set, for example, if you're in the safe house where Jesus appears to the disciple, if you actually look out the window, what you see is desert. So it could not be more authentic. I mean, they really, really made sure that it felt and looked real, not only to the audiences, but even to the actors. I remember when I was up on the cross on Golgotha. Golgotha was built on a little mountain. And what I was looking at from that point of view was just sand and rock. So that in itself was an amazing experience for me. It made my job so much easier. I didn't have to imagine. You know, I wasn't on a green screen. I didn't have to use my imagination too much, because literally I was there in front of this beautiful sky and just rock. It was amazing.
Do you come from a religious family?
Yeah, I was brought up a Catholic. I'm half Italian, half Argentinian, so you can imagine that.
So I suppose then if mom ever doubted your decision to become an actor instead of maybe a doctor or a lawyer, she must be bursting with pride now, huh?
She really is. Yeah. My mom is my number one champion, because even, you know, she's a painter, just a really amazing painter, and her specialty is religious painting. So she has a lot of paintings in churches all over Italy. And to have art and Jesus and her son in one place, it was just amazing for her.
AD, the Bible continues.
I'm actually happy for her.
It's on Sunday nights at 9, 8 o'clock Central on NBC. And we have a link to the show's YouTube channel on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I hope you'll come again. Sorry, more Jesus humor there.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Juan Pablo de Pache. Thank you. And good luck with
Thank
the
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah. Isn't it great when you can make Jesus laugh? You know? They left out that text in the... they have that Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible, right? They left out Jesus laughed.
He's got a good laugh, too.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But, man, good-looking fellow, huh? We found him on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just his name, at Juan Pablo de Pache, and Pache spelled P-A-C-E. And just a gorgeous guy.
He's a specimen of a man.
Yeah.
Really is.
You know, if I were to go that way, I think I'd go in his direction.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying you'd go Jesus's direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's a good direction to head in.
I'm a follower already. So anyway, that's a good. I don't know if you've seen the show. It's a pretty good show. They do a good job. All right. You ready to talk some, I don't know, what are we going to talk? You want to talk some weed?
Yeah, I do want to talk about that.
You do? There's some, because it's turning into a whole thing in Colorado, isn't it?
It is, and they're actually doing something real interesting up there, which as a big radio fan, I find it even more interesting. They're changing the formats of a station up there in Colorado to an all-weed station. They're going to be discussing the topics of marijuana from morning till night.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're changing the call letters to K-H-I-G-H.
Uh-huh.
K-High.
Yeah.
And they're going to have some interesting concepts
on
the
show. Is there that much to talk about?
Yeah, no, of course, yeah, if you're a fan of weed, those guys never stop talking about it. You know, those real weed aficionados are all the reasons it should be legalized everywhere, all the benefits that it has.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you a couple of the lineups that they have.
Yeah.
They're going to have a show in the morning called Wake and Bake.
Okay.
Appropriately titled.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a show in the afternoon with Bubba Cushman.
Yeah.
All yeah. Right.
Does it start at 4:20?
Probably. No, this one's at high noon. And then afternoons with the High Drive at 5.
Ooh.
And one of the announcers' name, the female, is Lesbiana.
No kidding.
It's Lesbionist is what it is. Lesbionist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people are arguing whether or not it's a radio gimmick. You know, back in the day, you'd do a lot of those things to gain attention, and then you'd rechange formats, but it sounds like they're going to stick to it.
Hey, you're not going to want to get on a plane ever again when you hear our tech guy. He joins us next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And be very, very scared because our tech guy is here. He's the head of mobile at Apogee, Jeremy Antecuni. When I heard that you had this story, I thought, holy crap, it's all over. We have to just cancel the internet, don't we? Because hackers...
We do with robots and blades. That's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, blades? What are those?
Well, iRobot, who, as you probably know, makes the Roomba vacuum, has applied for FCC clearance to make their own lawnmower. We're talking about a robotic lawnmower with spinning blades that by itself goes out and decides what's to cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of terrifying.
It is terrifying.
So, yeah. You know, you'd think that they would have, you know, safeguards in place. And, you know, the traditional way of doing something like this would be to bury a wire around your yard to give it boundaries as to where it could go. But what they want to use is a series of beacons, which would use radio technology to communicate and essentially allow you to have a couple beacons around your yard. And that would tell the robot where it could cut the grass.
What does the robot say when let's say there's a toddler on the grass crawling along and the blades is headed straight for the toddler?
It's a fantastic question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that, and it scares the hell out of me.
Yes,
it does. There's other people that are pretty perturbed about this, and these folks have some radio telescopes. These astronomers are pretty unhappy that the iRobot company wants to use the same radio spectrum that they use for these radio telescopes. And according to Harvey Litz of the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, he says, "What's to stop the guy who spends thousands of dollars on this product from using it in a residential area near our telescopes?"
And what would happen to their telescopes? Would they lose their reception?
Well, I don't think they know, but I think that they're just afraid of some sort of overlap or some sort of interference. They might pick up activity from a robot mower that might be interpreted as extraterrestrial life. And they're asking for a 55-mile exclusion zone. So use one of these robots 55 miles from any of their telescopes.
I'm sorry, but I don't know.
Have you ever tried to get more than a few feet away from your Bluetooth devices? The things don't work
that
far.
No, they don't.
55 miles is ridiculous.
Yeah, this does sound scary, but let's assume that they've got it figured out and it works well. I might be all in on one of these because I don't know about you. Do you mow your own lawn?
Who wants to?
Jeremy, do you have a lawn, first of all?
I have a lawn, and it is mowed, but I don't mow it.
Yeah, okay. For me, it's one of those things that I just count as part of my therapy. I have to mow my own lawn, and I just feel like that much better of a man after I'm done with it. But there are issues. You know, there are edges, there's walls, and all this sort of thing, and you try to get the straight lines going, and then when you get close to things that make it difficult to navigate your lawnmower, that's when you have to get some of the other devices to finish the manicuring, if you will. And so if this blade robotic lawnmower can hit all the edges and do the manicuring and straight lines because of its radio telescopic abilities, if it could be perfectly straight and make my front yard look like the baseball diamond that it should, then I might be all in.
Well, have you ever seen a Roomba going about vacuuming a room?
Not in a straight line.
So I wouldn't expect perfectly crisp straight lines from this thing. But, you know, certainly, you know, there is something to be said to be able to, you know, drink a beer and watch this thing mow your lawn for you.
There's a more cost-effective way, by the way, than going and buying a robotic lawnmower. What you do is you stick a stick in the middle of your lawn, you peg down the self-driving lawnmower, and you tie the mower on the very edge to the stick, and then the mower will just spin around in circles around the stick on the outside edges of your yard.
And get closer and closer.
And it'll slowly pull in closer and closer and closer all the way to the middle of your yard, and then you still have to clean up the outsides, but you'll have a beautiful circular pattern in your, your lawn.
A crop circle. Uh-huh. All right, well,
Chris, you are a never-ending series of just patentable ideas.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, as scary as that is, perhaps this is the scariest thing I've heard of yet. Is it true, Jeremy? Can hackers take over a plane through my Wi-Fi when I'm sitting in the cabin?
Well, the FAA warned about this 7 years ago and just came out with another report saying that the planes are still vulnerable. The Boeing 787 and the Airbus A350 and the A380 apparently have Wi-Fi networks that are physically connected to the avionics networks. That means that when you're sitting there playing around on the internet in the cabin, you're connected to the same network that all of the devices that are actually controlling the plane are connected to, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Why would they do that? That's like connecting Candy Crush to the banking system.
Right? So apparently there is a firewall between the Wi-Fi network that the passengers are using and the network that the avionics are using. But as I'm sure you can imagine, you know, that's software and humans wrote that software and there are bound to be vulnerabilities. So the FAA is warning that these networks are still vulnerable. And, you know, somebody on board that is on the plane could potentially try to breach that network. Or more scarily, a hacker that could be, you know, accessing a compromised laptop on board the plane could remotely be doing this. So I'm not sure what justification that these manufacturers have for connecting these networks together, but I can't think of much reason that you would do that.
No, but I think if Roomba can come up with a way for one of those robotic lawnmowers to write the code for these guys, they might be better off.
They might be. Yeah. You're right.
Okay, tell me about this social experiment that's going nuts on Reddit.
You know, this is an interesting one. So on April Fool's Day, Reddit introduced a button, which essentially is a countdown. You see,
you know what? Before we go too far, remind us what Reddit is again.
So Reddit is the quote-unquote front page of the internet. And so this is a user-driven site where, you know, interesting articles and other things that are cool and happening on the internet get posted. And so lots of people visit Reddit on a regular basis. Reddit introduced a button that essentially is a simple countdown button, a countdown timer. It starts from 60 and starts counting down towards zero until someone presses it. And once the button is pressed, it resets back to 60. Question is, what happens when it gets down to zero? Nobody knows because it has been constantly pressed for the last 2 weeks, and users have just been constantly, you know, pressing this button to see, you know, to get the best score. Now, what happens when you press the button is that whoever presses it gets a badge associated to their account, and it's color-coded based on how long the timer went down. So the lower the timer, the cooler you are in essence. You get essentially starting with purple and going all the way through the rainbow to red, you essentially get this badge, which shows how cool you are from pressing this button. So far, yellow has been the farthest it's gotten down, which is about 27 seconds. It hasn't gone lower than that. And really, nobody knows what's going to happen if it finally does expire.
Yeah. Wow. All right, it's a little like the scenario on, what was that TV show where everybody was, Lost. Right, where they had to put in the digits and to make sure that something bad that they didn't know what it was would never happen.
So you're saying it's going to end with a crappy plot?
Exactly.
I think that you're probably right, Chris. You know, it's interesting to see how easily folks on the internet are amused.
Where is this button? I'm on Reddit.com right now, and I'm looking for it.
So you go to Reddit.com/r/thebutton.
Oh, okay. /r/.
What do you think is going to happen, Jeremy? You think things are going to explode?
The whole internet will implode.
Just blows up.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing.
Yeah. And then somebody will be flying an airplane and mowing a lawn all at once. All right. Jeremy, a pleasure as always to speak with you. I'm going to go press a button and see what happens. And we'll talk to you again next week. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. See you guys.
Okay. All right. Real quick. Breaking Bad. Remember that?
Yes.
It was supposed to take place in Riverside, California, which makes a lot of sense because there's a whole lot of meth in Riverside, California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seems like the appropriate place.
But Albuquerque gave the production team a more financial and tax incentives, so they moved there.
I heard that there are a lot of studios making movies out of New Mexico because of the tax incentives that are going on and all the open space. You have so much space to be able to build sets, and you could do it for cheaper.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, up next on the program, ladies, you want to hear about a new female condom and the promise it holds for you and your sexual experience. And that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, thanks for tuning in. We were looking at the Reddit page, and I pressed the button, and then I checked out they have a shower thoughts section at Reddit. And here's a shower thought that somebody just posted. Grand Theft Auto, you know the game? They say GTA 7 will play very boring because of self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm. That's a shower thought, and a good one.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty funny, actually. Yeah.
Now, it would change the world if there was a condom that actually made sex feel better.
Sure would.
Yeah. Now, for you teenagers out there, just ignore that comment. Thank you. Condoms are great. Never leave home without one. That's the sage advice that we have for every man and every woman, for that matter, if you're going to be sexually active. Anyway, a company out of Michigan called IXU. I'm not sure
IXU,
how they assume.
IXU. Yeah, maybe it's IXU.
They're making a very bold claim, Chris. And I don't know if you're going to back them up on this claim.
Okay.
They say they've developed a female condom that makes sex better than wearing nothing.
Hmm. Okay. So far, I'm not backing them up.
It has a vibrating sleeve.
Wow.
And they say that after a woman uses it four times, she will start climaxing 100% of the time.
Okay. You know, I didn't realize there was something mechanical behind it, but now that you put it that way, these guys might be correct.
But it could be a while until we get these out on the market. They should be available in Europe. Of course, those Euros get everything first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within the next year, but getting FDA approval here could take a lot longer because, of course, the guys at the FDA like to test these things out over and over and over again until they're absolutely sure they work.
Yeah. It sounds like a product that's good for the woman. I don't know that it's great for the guy, though.
Maybe we're thinking the same thing. It diminishes the quality that you bring to the room yourself.
Well, for one, now you're talking about introducing an outside source to provide stimulation for the female.
Now, they always say that about, vibrating toys, mm-hmm. that you bring those to the bedroom. Then the lady starts to require those every time. And if you just have the old-fashioned style of sex, then she's not satisfied. So get out the toys. And so that diminishes your role a little bit, doesn't it, as the master of her pleasure.
Well, I don't know how deep we want to get into this conversation, Phil, but what I'm going to say is I'm willing to bet that in this scenario, the guy's participation is beneficial because wherever the vibration is on the outside of this female condom, it's going to receive pressure for the woman in certain areas, and the guy provides that stimulation. However, if you think about it from the guy's standpoint, a female condom is basically a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
So now you've taken the male side of it, although I guess if you're going to wear a condom, it's really not much different, but then what do you have to do to stimulate the environment to feel more female?
Yeah.
There's so many questions I have.
Yeah. What do they say? Is a bad day of surfing is better than a good day at work? So yeah. you're in bed and you're having sex with a lady. I guess you've got nothing to complain about, right?
No. No, I'm not against it. No. I'd like to talk to these guys. Can we get them on the show?
Yeah, maybe we should check them out. It's IXU, and that company, they're not even sure if they're going to try to sell these in the U.S., by the way. Here's a quote from them. Typically, the difficulty of FDA approval is the expense, the millions of dollars needed for clinical evaluation. There's been some hesitation to spend the money.
Yeah. It is a bold claim, though, you know, after using it four times. I've always said that you're guaranteed to climax with me after only three times.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Better than a donut in space, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything better than a donut in space, Phil. And the first donut has been launched into space. It's a pink sprinkled donut, and it has gone boldly where no other donut has gone before. Got to use that old chestnut.
Yeah.
A couple of Swedish brothers, Alexander and Benjamin, they attached a donut, a pink and white pastry, to a weather balloon and then successfully launched it above Earth's atmosphere. And amazingly, the icing and sprinkles both stayed intact after traveling 85 miles over 5 hours. They put a camera on it. There's really, the camera doesn't show you much. You're really just staring at a donut. But behind the donut, you do get to see some pretty cool pictures of Earth from space.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So Earth's atmosphere. You got to get that weather balloon up, what, 300 miles, right?
Well, this says it went 85 miles in over 5 hours. It doesn't tell me how far it ended
up. Well, is that the lateral travel or is that the
vertical?
The vertical travel. Well, I thought the atmosphere was 300 miles.
Yeah. They said that their motivation was the fact that nobody's ever sent a donut into space.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they made it.
There's a motivational.
Well, so there's some dispute then.
No, I'm looking at the video.
As to whether they reached space.
There's a donut above the Earth's atmosphere. I see a donut, and then I see a good chunk of Earth and clouds and all of that.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
So I'm thinking they got a donut into space.
I will continue playing under protest. Why do we suck at soccer here in the United States?
You know, I don't know if we suck.
At least the men do.
We don't value soccer like the rest of the world does. Not even close.
The best World Cup performance by the American men's soccer team was at the very first one in 1930.
Huh.
1930.
See, and you know, and I think we get all pumped up as Americans for our team, so it seems like we've done better since then. But
you know what? In 1930, we finished in third place.
That's pretty good.
And we've never since then finished higher than eighth.
Huh.
So
bummer.
Is that the definition of sucking at soccer?
It is. Yeah. Compared to the rest of the world, or at least the portions of it that love soccer.
Yeah.
South America, the United Kingdom. There's so many places that soccer's their football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, I know it is. Football.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We all have at least one thing that we overspend money on. And if you look at your credit card debt in this country, most of us have about 15,000 things we overspend on. 95% of people say they usually go over their budget when they're shopping. And this is according to a new survey. The top five things we spend too much money on are food.
Hmm.
We buy more crap to eat than we necessarily need. 58% spend more on food than they need to. 54% spend more money on clothing. Gosh, I just got to have something new to wear every day of the week.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Grandpa used to have two pairs of pants and two shirts, right? One for working and one for going places.
Both of those expensive items, too. You don't realize until you have to buy food regularly and clothes regularly how expensive that stuff is.
Household items, all right? Do I really need that copper rooster spoon holder for the kitchen?
Yeah.
Shoes. I thought that would fall under clothing, but shoes, 21% overspend on shoes. Now, here's the thought on shoes. You could go to the Bob's Cheapo Shoe Store and get yourself a $15 pair of dress shoes. They're going to wear out in a couple of months. Or you can go to the fancy place. Let's say you just go to the Nordstrom, right, and you buy a $250 pair of shoes, and they're going to last for years. In fact, you could probably take them back, and they'll resold them and clean them up, and you can have that great expensive pair of shoes for 10, 15, 20 years.
Or you could go to Ross or TJ Maxx and get those shoes that used to be at Macy's and Nordstrom's.
Yeah.
Still brand new.
Uh-huh.
For a third of the price.
Wow.
See?
20% spend too much on entertainment. And that's because they're going into the VIP room way too often. Isn't that right? Okay.
Bottle service?
Yeah.
That's a rip. All bottle right. service.
Anything else for us, Chris? Anything nice to end the program on?
Sure. How about a kid, a little kid that is paying for his dad's kidney transplant? How does that sound?
Little kids don't have money for kidney transplants, Chris.
This little kid does. This young man named Sam Greiner. But you're only going to know him from his meme from back in 2010. The meme was called Success Kid. And if you remember, it's this little kid. He's like 4 or 5 years old. He's standing on the beach and he's staring at the camera and he's squeezing wet sand in his hand and he's looking very sort of stern about it.
Yeah. Oh, I remember him.
Yeah. Yeah. According to his mom, he was just about to eat that sand, yeah. by the way. Yeah.
He made some money off of that?
He did, apparently. Yeah. He's people were reposting it, putting funny captions behind it. And let's see. It turns out his dad has kidney failure.
Yeah,
and Sam recently, he started a GoFundMe page.
Oh.
He started a GoFundMe page for his kidney transplant and raised more than $90,000 in a week. Makes sense. So he used the popularity of his meme, his internet popularity, for this GoFundMe transplant page. $90,000 in a week. That's pretty good.
That is darn good.
Now his dad's going to get a kidney.
How about that?
That's excellent.
Good. How old is this kid now?
Let's see. If he was, I'm going to say he's a youngster. He's
six
still
or
10
seven.
Or under.
He's under 10.
Yeah, he's under 10.
Yeah.
Getting his dad a kidney transplant.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
I wonder if he ever got to eat the sand. I hope so.
Isn't it just a weird and wonderful world that we live in now? Because you can have this celebrity for apparently no reason, and then you end up doing something good with that celebrity.
Sometimes, and sometimes people use it for...
for evil.
Evil.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Hey, we sure enjoyed the program, and we hope you did, too. We talked to Jesus today, and we talked butt zits, all in the same program. And we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com or on Twitter at FAF Show, PHAF, like Phil Hewlett and Friends. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Leave us a voicemail on the website. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.